thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of us getting together for this broadcast. And again, sitting a few feet from me, Brother Kevin. And Kevin, catch us up. What's going on with you these days?
Man, I'm just getting over a bad sickness. Bad for me. I thankfully don't get very sick. But just yesterday I had a conversation with the command chaplain, who's a full-bird colonel on a large military post, and he's very excited. I'd say excited, maybe out of just he's very enthused about letting Wounded Spirits begin a ministry on his installation. He's worked with us. I started a ministry on another installation where he was a garrison chaplain, and it's going well. But this one here, God just raised up your seminary professor's son, who happened to be active duty going to a church that I stopped in at, and the pastor said, you need to talk to this guy here. He could lead a Wounded Spirits Bible study on that post. Talked to him, got together with him, spent training time, just a lot of phone calls, lunch and all that at Subway. But it just turned out to be a really good situation. And just yesterday, again, they're starting a new chapter up, a weekly chapter, probably Friday nights. It's going to start in April. So if you're anywhere, if you're stationed or going to be stationed on Fort Eisenhower, which was Gordon, that'd be a good situation to get into that Wounded Spirits ministry there.
Yeah, I'm just so prayerfully thankful that Kevin made a good contact down there and that God is moving, and just thankful. And folks, as we look at, you know, words of the day, things we're doing, yesterday we were talking about peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that comes from God, not this world. And taking it a step farther today, we want to say, you know, there's a mission for that peace. There's a mission for hope. There's a mission that we've got to have in our lives. And we do have a mission. As Christian, you know, God gives us things to do. He tells us what to do. He sends us. He tells us how to do things. He goes with us. He accompanies us. He talks with us. But we got to understand that we have a mission with God. So I pulled up a few verses, and there's one verse that's always been, a driving verse. It's driven me anyway. As we've dealt with the PTSD ministry, as we've dealt with trauma, as we've dealt with helping people. And that's always been Romans 15:13. Now the God of all hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So what's our mission? Well, we have mission. We got to go to the God of all hope. And our mission is to stay connected. Our mission is to receive that peace. Our mission is to share that. Our mission is to be part of that. Our mission is to follow peace with all men and holiness, as we talked about yesterday. And now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace, and in this world ye shall have tribulation. And we think about that. So, Kevin, you know, if you try to put things together, this world, tribulation marks this world. Trials mark this world. And we know that. We know that the world is filled with tribulation. Recently, I read an article that 47 countries in the world right now are involved in war. So essentially, you want to put things together, about one quarter of all the countries in the world are somehow involved in a war right now. And we look at that, we look at human trafficking. We're told that 14 to 20 million people a year get thrown and captured into human trafficking. We're taught that one out of four people will go to jail in their lifetime in the United States, where all these different things are going on. And God says, hey, I'm a different brand than this world. I'm not talking about the peace of the world. I'm talking about a peace that gives you holiness. I'm talking about a peace that brings you from your trauma and makes things better. I'm talking about a peace that heals families. I'm talking about a peace that can put families back together, that it's just unbelievable. It's beyond our comprehension, Kevin, and that's our mission. Our mission is to receive that, share that, move out.
You know, when God gives us something like you're talking about there so well, when God gives us peace, it's almost like anything he gives us is an action word. It's not something, it's a state that, okay, you've got peace and don't do anything with it. He, when he gives us joy, it's for a reason. He joys us, you know, so to speak. He rejoices the heart. And that joy is, you know, you hear the word missional. Basically, it's missionary. It gives us a mission. And when we have peace, we go from that with a mission. In fact, I just looked up the word peace, and it says the fruit of righteousness. I don't have it in front of me anymore, but I think it's in Romans. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so, you know, when we're trying to do the right thing and God wants us to do that, when we're doing that, it's sown in peace of them that make peace. So it's we have peace in our heart. It's like you'd automatically want to help others to have the peace with God. That's witnessing, that's evangelism. And then you want everyone to have the peace of God. And so that's discipleship. So when I've made peace with God and I have the peace of God, it becomes a mission of mine to go help others to have that. You know, Paul talked about, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God as an ambassador. He's saying that. And I want to be the kind of person that goes forth with duty. Whenever God gives me something good, I should ask, what is my duty to do with this? That's not just words you hear at the end of church. You know, what are you going to do about this message? Which is true. But think about it. If God's given you peace and joy or forgiveness, we should go out and, you know, go and do that likewise. And duty, it's a game changer. When you're going through trauma, having duty is a game changer. You know, when I'm suffering, if I realize there is going to be something out of this that I'm going to be able to affect the lives of others and the world with in a very substantial way so that my life matters, that's a game changer. If a mission is handed to me as a result of suffering, that's a game changer for me. I will turn a corner when that happens. I'll give you an example. Louis Pasteur, a very famous chemist back in the 1700s, I think, he was the French dude, Louis, but he was...
You got to watch those French names.
Yeah. Maybe his wife.
I don't mean
good,
that, folks, if
lover.
You're from France. I'm sorry.
But anyway, Mr. Pasteur was very, he was not a doctor, but he had theorized that you could give someone a watered-down version of a disease as a inoculation against it. And also in several diseases, notably which is rabies, which is called hydrophobia scientifically, but rabies, if a child was bitten by a rabid dog or a person was bitten by a rabid dog, you give them a regimen of these antibiotics that he had come up with, and his theory was that he would not actually catch it. So a child was bit, torn up by a dog, and he was so anxious, and Louis Pasteur was so anxious because he's like, what if my vaccine kills him? What if? And he was just ate up. It was like traumatizing to him to the point he wasn't doing anything. Finally, people that knew him said, Louis, if you do nothing, he will surely die. And he said, really? Do you think I should give it? Should I give the vaccine? And he said, I don't think you just should. It's your duty. And he said, duty? Oh. He said, prepare the vaccine. And he took the kid, and he was the guinea pig kid, and he gave him the regimen, and he was one of the first ones ever not to die, having been bitten by a known rabid animal. And that's the, I think that's the will of God for you and I, Doug, is that we take our trauma when we're just, it's not worth it, I'm just suffering, it's my problem. God's like, no, this is for other people's benefit.
Yeah, you know, when I think coming out of trauma, looking for peace, all these things you're talking about make sense. Louis Pasteur, he's the guy who said, hey, you should boil water and heat up milk and stuff to get rid of these diseases. I mean, this was an intelligent guy. And but, you know, the truth is, as we go through things and as we trust things, if we're in the middle of these trials, if we're in the middle of life, when we say, God, you've given us this mission, we're going to take the next step. And I think probably the hardest thing ever was to give somebody that injection. I'm going to tell you something else is very hard, is to share your faith with someone you work with.
Mm.
Let me tell you something else that's hard, is to look across the table at someone you love and say, you know, you got to get saved.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, God's done something in my life and I want to share. This is hard stuff. And you know what, folks? What if the reason we went through these traumas, what if the reason we've been through illnesses and craziness and hurt and life upside down, what if the blessing comes from going through that and sharing that? And that's a hard thing to accept. And I say that to you. I'm not, you know, folks, I've lived that where I've asked myself that question. What if the blessing was the terrible hurt I went through? Now I get to bless people with that. What if, you know, folks, and it's taken that mission of peace, sharing the peace, sharing what God's done in your life, moving out, it changes things. And maybe the stuff we've been through, maybe if we can look back at the terrible times, the stupid things we've done, the stupid things we've lived, and realize that's all part of this mission. That's the blessing. That's where we go from here. We take all that and we move forward. Hey, folks, hang with us. We'll be right back with you. We got to let radio stations do what they have to do.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
And here we are. We're back. We're talking all things cough medicine here and stuff with Kevin as he moves on and continues to move on with the plan of getting better from this bronchial cold craziness that all these pastors picked up. And for those of you who do not live in the Southeast, what happens is this. It starts in Florida, and it continually moves north through February and into March. So we always say in the South, February showers bring March flowers, because we get all the flowers, the craziness, the yellow and stuff. We get it all in March. Down there in Florida, they're about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of us. And that's the kind of stuff, for those of you who've been around, where your car turns yellow. Where you come out and say, why is my car green or yellow? That stuff gets in your lungs and digs in. Yeah. That's what's happened to Kevin. We find ourselves over in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 20 through 23, as we move on with the life of Christ, do an exegetical study. And it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto his hands and the side. So the Lord got up there and said, peace be unto you. But then he comes up and he says, look it, this is me. Here's my side. Here's my hands. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father have sent me, even so I send you. So here's the mission, peace be unto you, because my Father sent me, gave me that peace, so now I'm sending you. There's your mission, folks. Here's the mission we're talking about. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So you got a responsibility here. But what a physical evidence of the resurrection. Here's the Lord. Let me lift up my shirt. There was no magic thing going on here. This was in Hollywood. Yeah. Hey, I was stabbed in the side. Look at my hand. The only man-made thing in heavens, friend, the only man-made things you'll see up there are the holes in Christ's hands.
Yeah.
When he comes up to you and you see those holes in his hands, and I'm complicit in those holes in the hands, and so is everybody else who's ever been a sinner. And then he commissions the disciples, and man, that's a commission you got to take. And he tells his disciples to continue on with the mission. It's time to keep going. Don't hide yourself in a room. Remember, here they are in the room, they're locked up, they're afraid of the Jews. And then he does something that is so cool. He gives them the power of the Holy Ghost. And more of the power comes along. The Holy Ghost is available to everybody and anybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We see that in Pentecost. But here he is breathing the Holy Ghost on them and giving that to them and giving them the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something, friends? You know what you have if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives us this ministry, this mission of reconciliation. He gives us this mission to move forward. And he's sending them out. And I remember one thing. When we were in the Army, one of the things you do, and Kevin will tell you, all around us is certificates and stuff. I've been moving out of boxes into my office here at home and things of that nature. And I'm seeing these certificates and things I've completed. But every time you complete a training in the Army tells you, okay, you have this training, go do it. it. Go show other people how to do it and move out. See, in the Army, you're not promoted because you know more than the next guy. You're promoted because you help people know everything you know and know more than the next guy. It's always, and what God's saying is, hey, you guys got this. You got it now. You have the Holy Ghost. You know what's going on. Get out of this room and go make disciples. And Kevin, I think sometimes those of us who have trauma, those of us who've been steeped with hurt, those of us who feel like laying on our couch, he's saying, you know, it's not time for that now. You have a mission.
Yeah. Things were definitely moving quickly here in our text. And he had ascended. He had already done the walk along the Emmaus Road, which is in the book of Luke. Just recollecting. My head's a little bit fuzzy after being sick. It was bad. But it was one of those fuzzy brain things, head cold, you know how it is, plus chest cold. But long story short, as things were, you know, being done in his earthly ministry, I think it's interesting that we just read, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He breathed on them. What an unusual thing was that. This is a pre-Pentecost bestowal of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an indwelling. But basically, it was the breath of God bringing the Holy Ghost. It was the sound of that rushing, as it were. You know, when thou hearest the sound of a going at the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. I think it was him bestirring his disciples with extra things. Why? Because you think about it, 3.5 years they walked with Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm going away, and then I'll send the promise of the Father. So in my place is going to be the Spirit indwelling you." But you got, you know, 40 days here of neither before Pentecost and the indwelling, and after Jesus ascended to his Father, they needed extra. And I'm glad that he gave the extra, because look how badly they did during the 3 days and three nights when he was in the heart of the earth. They were cowering, they were scared, they were not doing well. And This is a pretty cool thing that he was in a transitional way doing this. And then the mission, like you said, when he said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto you." That word remit means removed, forgive, forgiven, forgive. So whoever sins you forgive, they're remitted unto them. And that smacks of what Jesus had said to Peter. He said, "Whosoever sins ye," I haven't looked it up, but just kind of shooting from the hip, he's saying, basically, he's giving the church, if you read the context of everything that's taking place, it's talking about the church, how to handle things in the church. But he said, essentially, and on church matters, when the church makes a decision, and Paul talked about this in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, when you're gathered together in my spirit, deliver such a one to Satan. And Paul said, whosoever you forgive, I've forgiven for Christ's sake, and so on and so forth. So church discipline, church forgiveness, that's a big deal. And Jesus was saying, not just on a church level, when you are on a mission for Jesus Christ, like you said in before the break, that when we are sitting and talking to someone, we are on a mission. And like Louis Pasteur said, you know, well, what if I mess up? What if I mess up? What if I really drive him farther away? It's better to say something. It's better to witness for Christ. Open your mouth. And that's why I think Paul said, and pray for me, church, that for me, God would give me utterance, that I might make known, boldly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm ambassador in chains, that I might make it known as I ought to. So we ought to. We have an oughtness about our life, and we ought to be busy when we meet someone, when we talk to someone. God help us. God help me. Doug, when I'm talking to someone, just to take the time and the effort to say, you know what? It's my duty, because if I don't say anything, they'll surely die and go to hell. Yeah. If not that it's all on me, but hey, I'm his mouthpiece. I'm beseeching in Christ's stead. If the ambassador is not going to sow peace, if the ambassador is not going to bring a message to another country, how in the world is someone else going to do it? So may God help us to get on mission.
Yeah, that's good, brother. And You know, and I'm thinking about, you know, the resurrection, knowing that Christ is back, the sides, the hands, the mission. And brother, the mission is essential. It's the mission always. But I'm thinking about the assurance and the joy that must have been in that room. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking in my mind, I was listening to you talk. That's a good day. You talked about the 3 days and it hit me. I was sitting there saying, whoa, that's true. He went up, man. He ascended. And a few days go by and it, like, are we out here alone? Here we are locked up in a room. We're sending people down through the drive-thru at McDonald's so nobody sees us. We're, you know, and Christ shows up. And folks, I don't know about you, but I think my heart would have leapt. I think it would have leaped right out of my chest there. I think there would have been so much joy and happiness. And folks, we should have that joy and happiness with our mission. Christ has done this for us. I'm excited about this. Come back tomorrow. We're going to be looking at the doubt that was in the room with Thomas and some of the doubt we deal with. But we sure do love you, folks, and we look forward to talking more about this tomorrow. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.